The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we have been, do you even know the topic?
No.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, so I did not choose this, but I mentioned I'm giving a shiur about Lashon Hara on Wednesday night, which I did last night, and then also on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then Chaim told me that he had requested to do a review of the halachos of Lashon Hara in the Rambam. So I took a vote and everyone said yes. So that's what we're doing. So, but what we're doing is we're trying to actually go further than we've done before. And part of that is what we're going to do today. Okay. So let's review. So in the Sefer HaMitzvah, so the pasuk is Lo Seilach Rachel B'Macha, don't go as a gossipmonger among your people. And then the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot brings a chazal that he never seems to bring up again, which is, he says, Amru lo sehe rach devarim lezeh v'kasha lezeh. I've never heard that as the definition of Ruchilus before. It's clearly based on, I think, on the trying to darshan the word rach, like soft. You know, don't be soft in words to this one and harsh to that one. But again, no clue why what that's doing here. Then the second definition, Davar acher lo tehe kerochel, don't be like a merchant, matin devarim v'holech, who takes or loads up on things and then goes. Okay, so that's going to be similar to the one he says in the Mishnah Torah. And then uvichlal lav zehas har al hotza shemra. Included in this is the isser against moti shemra, against slander. Funny, he does not mention lashon hara in here. Okay, because we'll see in the Mishnah Torah he has rechilus, lashon hara, and then moti shemra. Here he doesn't mention that at all. Okay, so. So then we get to the Mishnah Torah. Hamaraga b'chaver over b'lo zaseh, shenemar lo seilach rachel b'macha. So he uses the lashon of maragel, which Rashi says means the same thing as rachel. He says that the gimel and the chaf are interchangeable because it's produced with the same part of the mouth. But plaimsha is maragel means to report on someone, right? Like to spy out and then bring a report and then bring it back to someone else. So I think the Rambam could have easily said haholech rachel. But he says hamaragel because he's using the Hebrew word for maraglin. Okay, like, you know, and it's funny because the pasuk says rachel. So like the fact that he's deviating from the lashon hapasuk means that presumably he's saying maraglin, davka. Okay, v'alfa pi she'ein lokin al lavze, even though you don't get malkos on this because there's no maise, avon gadalhu, v'gorim laharog nefashos rabos miyisrael. It causes many Jewish souls to be killed. L'kach nismach, and that's why the second half of the pasuk says, lo sa'amod adam re'acha, do not stand over the blood of your fellow. Se ulman ma'ira l'doeg ha'adomi, go and learn what happened to doeg ha'adomi. And that's what we're going to do today. Okay, but before we do that, you know, the doeg ha'adomi involves lots of people being killed, but presumably, the Rambam is not saying that because of Doeg. He's saying it because of the Pasuk. And then Doeg is an example of that. Okay. But then he goes and defines it. He defines Rachilus. He says, Ezehu Rachil, Zeshu Toin Devarim. This is someone who I kind of try to hedge my bets on the definition, because Toin can either mean to like taina, like to make a claim, or it also mean to load up. So I'm saying loads up on claims or on words. V'holech mizeh lezeh, and goes from this person to that person. V'omer, and says kach v'kach amar ploni, such and such was said by so and so. Kach v'kach shamati al ploni, this is what I heard about so and so. Alpha pishu omer ms harzeh machri v'solam. Even though he's speaking truthfully, then he destroys the world. So the difficulty here is what exactly are the parameters of this, because it sounds very broad, and he doesn't say it's negative speech. That is lashon hara. He says yesh avon gadol mizeh ad mod v'hu bichlal lavzeh v'hu lashon hara. That's someone who speaks degradingly about his friend. So the question is, I understand Lashon Hara is speaking degradingly about your friend or your fellow, even if it's true, but what is Ruchilus? Like, if I say, oh, Yosef told me that he had a good Pesach, you know, that fits the definition, but it doesn't seem like it should be gossip. I'm saying kach v'kach amar ploni, right? You know, so like the question is, what are the parameters? That's what we're trying to figure out. Yeah.
The question is, why not? Like, why are you saying it shouldn't be that?
I'm saying it just doesn't seem like that is machri v'sa olam and gorim lahar v'nefashos mi'israel. Yeah.
I just think it's a hell of a present work. I guess, talk about a certain person saying that she wasn't traditional, another person saying like, weak. Well, Charles Sharma's going like, what? I don't even view that as a negative comment. It's just a comment. It doesn't.
Right. Well, that's the difficulty, right? Is that he does not seem to indicate that Rechilus is negative in contrast to Lashon Hara, but you know, it does seem to be that it's negative. And also, look, I mean, if you're going to be, in the Gemara, people quote each other all the time. Like quoting someone or saying what you heard about someone cannot intrinsically be usher. That I just refuse to believe that. Okay, so let's look at Doeg. Okay, and we're not going to do every pasuk, but we'll do the relevant ones. Okay, so this translation here is my ongoing amalgam of my own translation and altar and art scroll. Okay, so I'm just going to read it in English for the time's sake. So this is in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk 2. And David came to Nov, to Ahimelech HaKohen. So this is after Yehonasan tells him that Shaul is going to kill him. Okay, and he flees. So he's alone. Okay, Plain Shabbos, he's alone. David came to Nov, to Ahimelech HaKohen, and Ahimelech trembled to meet David. Others say it means he hastened to meet David and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one is with you?" Okay, and the analogy I was going to give, I was going over this with one of my students, and I said, like, it'd be like if you were walking down Reed's Lane and, like, you suddenly saw Kamala Harris just walking by herself. You would assume that something is wrong because you got, like, a second-in-command individual alone, like, you know, or even worse than that, not walking along. She burst into the door, you know, like, so this is like the general, lead general or whatever, and the son-in-law of the king, and he's by himself, right? So that's why he's trembling. Okay. And David said to Ahimelech HaKohen, "The king has charged me with a mission and said to me, let no one know a thing of the mission on which I send you and which I charge you. Thus I inform my attendants to be at a certain secret place." Okay, so he's clearly doing a cover-up, because if anyone who is associated with Shaul knows that he is fleeing, then word will get back to Shaul and then his life will be in danger. So he's making up a very convenient story that it's a secret mission, and that also makes sure that Ahimelech is not going to tell anyone. And then he says, kind of suspiciously, "And now what do you have at hand? 5 loaves of bread, give them to me," or whatever there is. Okay, so a little suspicious. And the Kohen answered David and said, "I have no common bread at hand," so lechem chol, only lechem kodesh. And there's a whole to-do in the Mefarshim about how could Ahimelech give him Lechem Kodesh. Okay, like, it's a question of, like, was there a heter, or was David starving to death, or was he ill? I'm not going to get into that. I don't think it's relevant for our sugya. And then he adds, if only the lads have kept themselves from women, because he was concerned about the Tumah, but then the question is, why is he giving it to David? Whatever. And David answered the Kohen and said to him, "Why, women are restricted to us, as in times gone by when I went out to war and the lad's gear was consecrated, even if it was a common journey, how much more so now the gear should be consecrated." Okay, so whatever it is, the Kohen gave him what was consecrated, for there was no bread except the show bread that had been removed from before Hashem to be replaced with the warm bread when it was taken away. Okay, so he gives him food. Okay, and now here we got what's called in literary terms, Chekhov's gun, I guess, right? Where this is foreshadowing. And there was a man of Shaul's servants that day who was detained before Hashem, and his name was Doeg, the Edomite chief of the herdsmen who were Shaul's. So plain shot is he was a chief herdsman. Chazal say that he was a Talmid Chacham, and the reason why he was staying there was, the Mefarshim say, was to be mispalel or to give extra korbanos or to learn Torah. So, but plain shot is he was there. Okay, fine. All right, so he was there. Okay, then David said to Ahimelech, "Don't you have here at hand a spear or a sword? For neither my sword nor my gear have I taken with me, for the king's mission was urgent." So again, another lie. He really wants a weapon to defend himself, but he's saying, oh, because I was, you know, on the king's mission. And the Kohen said, "The sword of Goliath the Plishti, whom you struck down in the valley of the Terebinth, here it is, wrapped in a cloak behind the ephod." And this is a little difficult also. Okay, behind the ephod, Rashi, who I assume is quoting Chazal, says, "Achrei ha'efod, achar sheshalu b'urim v'tumim." After he inquired of the urim v'tumim, amarlo, then he came v'chein. Then he said such and such, and then that's the targum also. So they say that he asked a question of the ephod here, okay, which is going to be relevant in Doeg's accusation. "If you would take this for yourself, take it, for there is none other but it hereabouts." And David said, "There's none like it. Give it to me." So he takes the sword. Okay, now I'm cutting out this last part because it's not relevant to our sugya, and I'm cutting out the next part of chapter 22. Okay, now we have Shaul. Okay, switch to the scene. And Shaul heard that David was discovered and the men who were with him, and Shaul was sitting in Gibeah under the tamarisk on the height, his spear in his hand, and all his servants poised in attendance upon him. And Shaul said to his servants poised in attendance upon him, "Listen now, you Benjaminites. Will the son of Yishai give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will he make every one of you captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you should have conspired against me, and none revealed to me when my son made a pact with the son of Yishai, and none of you was troubled for my sake to reveal to me that my son has set up my servant to lie in wait against me on this very day. So Robert Alter points out that this is very literarily consistent with Shaul's like paranoia and madness. It's just like one run on like sentence, you know, of like this paranoia. Okay, so then here we go. Here's the Rithelus. And Doeg the Edomite, who was poised in attendance with Shaul's servant, spoke out and said, I saw the son of Yishai coming to Nov to Achimelech, the son of Achituv. And he inquired of Hashem through the Urim Tumim and provisions he gave him and the sword of Goliath, the Plishti he gave him. Okay, so that's the statement. Now, let's see what happens, then we'll analyze it. And the king sent to summon Achimelech, the son of Achituv, and all his father's household. Actually, let's talk about it now. So there's this long Malbim, which Chaim Gerson and I tried to work out, where he highlights all of the changes that Doeg made, okay? The main change that he made is that he doesn't indicate to Shaul that Achimelech had no idea that David was fleeing from Shaul. And in fact, if you ask Achimelech, why are you helping David? What would he say?
Because he's on a royal mission.
He's on a royal mission, right? So he's really a servant of the king, right? But Doeg omits that. And he also twists the story to make it sound like, for example, he says, I saw the son of Yishai coming to Nov to Achimelech, son of Ahituv, which implies that he went to Achimelech's house. When really, Malbim claims, he went to the Malkum Avoda to see the Kohen, and then afterwards, maybe the Kohen like took him to get bread from elsewhere, you know? Or he also changes the order. He says he inquired of Hashem through the Urim V'Tumim, and then gave him provisions, and then the sword of Goliath, the Plishti, which Shaul, of course, is going to think that he inquired of Hashem to ask about how to flee from Shaul, and then now Achimelech is like giving him provisions and a sword to like help him to get away from Shaul. So the thing is that okay, we'll analyze it more after that. But that's the context now for this next interaction. And the king sent to summon Achimelech, son of Achitub, and all his father's household, the Kohanim who were in Nob, and they all came to the king. Now you're going to see how Shaul took it. Shaul said, listen now, son of Achitub, which is a very disrespectful way to refer to the Kohen, right? That's typically been, like, you know, when Bnei Israel call Moshe in the Midrashim Ben Amram, like, that's, like, not a respectful term, yeah.
What person oftentimes will be disrespectful to just say, like, your last name. Like,
yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah, that's just not respectful. He doesn't address him as, I don't know how you're supposed to address the Kohen, but yeah. Okay, and he said, here I am, my lord. And Shaul said, why, and here, listen to the accusation, why did you conspire against me? I'll read in Hebrew. You might love Shaul. Lama keshartem alai. Why did you conspire against me? Ata uben Yishai, you and the son of Yishai. Besitcha lo lechem v'cherev, to give him bread and the sword, v'sha'olo belokim, and to inquire of God for him, lakum elai, so that he would get up to la'orev, to lie in wait against me, kayamazah. Okay, so just straight up taking Doeg's narrative. Okay, and then Rashi adds, v'sha'olo belokim, asiso melech, you made him king. Because an ordinary person cannot ask of the Urim V'Tumim. So the fact that you facilitated that means that you're endorsing his monarchy and like you're traitor to the king. Okay, so Ahimelech gives an answer which, based on my understanding of it, is not the best defense he could have given. Okay, he says, Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who of all your servants is like David, loyal and the king's son-in-law and captain of your palace guard and honored in your house? Right, so that's true. Meaning, I assume David is like loyal. Did I this day for the first time inquire of him for God? We didn't quite know what that meant. It sounds like he's saying, it sounds like he's saying like, I've done this before. Rashi say, yeah, ha-yom ha-chilosi lisholo bitmiya, ze yamin rabim shetzorach ha-tibor bo. There's a communal need, and you're allowed to ask for a communal need. Shemininu, sheminahu motzi u mevi es Yisrael, me'az anisho alo b'lukim. So in other words, I think he's saying, according to Rashi, like you're allowed to ask for communal needs and David is the general. So like, yeah, this is not asking because I'm making him king. This is asking because like, you know, I need to help the community. Far be it from me. Let not the king impute anything to his servant or to all my father's house, for your servant knew nothing of all this, neither great nor small. So that's the key defense here. So I didn't know anything about this, but it says, and the king said, you are doomed to die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house. So then what happens? And the king said to the runners poised in attendance on him, turn around and put to death the Kohanim of Hashem, for their hand too is with David, for they knew he was fleeing and did not reveal it to me. Now that's just totally false. Achimelech didn't know. Certainly all the other Kohanim are blameless. But he's just, you know, saying they're all in on it. And the king's servants did not want to reach out their hand to stab the Kohanim of Hashem. And the king said to Doeg, you then turn around and stab the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned around, and it was he who stabbed the priest, and he put to death on that day 85 men who wore the linen ephod. And he struck down Nov, the city of Kohanim, with the edge of the sword, man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and donkey and sheep, all by the edge of the sword. Clearly seems to be an allusion to Amalek, right? This is what Shaul was supposed to do to Amalek, to kill all these people, and it ends up being, you know, reversed here. I don't know what's up with that. And then one of the sons of Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, got away. His name was Eviasar. Which is one of those like Tanakhi names, my father remains, right? I guess, I don't know. And he fled after David, and Eviasar told David that Shaul had killed the Kohanim of Hashem. And David said to Eviasar, I knew on that day that Doeg the Edomite was there, and he would surely tell Shaul, I am the one who caused the loss of all the lives of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for whoever seeks my life seeks your life, and you are under my guard. Okay, so this is the first time I've ever done what the Rambam said of going and learning what happened to Doeg the Edomite. So the question is, you know, the Rambam is telling us to go and learn from him in terms of the consequences, that a little rechilus can go a long way and get 85 Kohanim killed. But I think what we should get from this is an example of rechilus. So the question is, can we use that to come up with a unified definition of rechilus? And again, just to go over the notes again, we have rach lezeh v'kash lezeh, that's one note. Note two is lote kerochel matin devarim v'holech, which the Rambam repeats in his definition here, is this shatoin devarim. Okay, and it is alfi shehu omer emes, and it is someone who's a meragel, and it is gorm largo nefashos rabos misrael. So the question is, what would you define rechilus as based on all of these indications here? And the word rachio means merchant, by the way. That's the thing here. Here, I'll make this bigger. You have any ideas?
I have one, although it's all those pharaohs have, maybe it's David who did the rechilus, so tell you anything.
So, you know, it's funny. I since I never learned the story, I didn't realize that David took the blame. And David was lying, but he was lying to save his life, right? I mean, he lied about, you know, but nowhere does anyone say that David did rechilus that I've seen. So okay. That's why I wouldn't go with that assumption. So I'm going to go ahead, just because I have to leave now, I'm going to suggest a definition that we could think about over the weekend, which is, and this is a loose definition, and I actually want to go back and see what definition I gave when I did this 2 years ago. I would say it's like this. It is, rechilus is the indiscriminate sharing of information or conversations. I'm not exactly sure how to put it, without regards to context, okay? And it's the quality of the indiscriminate and without being regards to context that is what opens the door to all of these consequences. It might also have an element of, again, because the word used is a merchant. So you are doing this in order to get something from somebody, you know? So like the common case of gossip is you're basically, like common gossip is you're trading information about people for the sake of entertainment. Like you're taking juicy pieces of information and then telling them to people who are going to like approve of you or trade you for pieces of information. But I think what we see from Doeg is everything he said was true, but he's sharing it in a way that is omitting valuable pieces of information that could change the whole meaning. And he's like, he's imposing a narrative on it, but the very fact that someone is doing this without regards to context means that it lends itself to having other narratives imposed upon it. So that's like the direction that I'm taking. I think we need to think about it a little bit more though. Yeah.
Do we know if Doeg knew the context?
Yes. Doeg, according to all the Mepharshim that I read, and I have a list of them here, Doeg, like I'll just read the Malbim who says it clearest. Visham Ish. Okay, so there was a man. That's where it mentioned Doeg in chapter 21. Yisapir shel kohen lo nishmar mipnei Doeg shayasham. So it tells that the kohen was not guarding against Doeg. Vizel laos shel kohen lo ala al libo ki boreacho. So that is a sign that the kohen never suspected that David was fleeing, right? Because he knew that Doeg was a servant of Shaul. So if there was any hava mina that like David was betraying Shaul or anything like that, then he would have, then the fact that Doeg was there was significant. V'zeh magid gamkin rishas Doeg shahaya sham v'shama ki David amar shaholik b'shlikos Shaul. So this is a sign that Doeg was there and knew that David had said that he was going on the shlichus of Shaul. V'chol zeh hilchin es ha-kohen b'sheker k'mo shivor. And he's still like informed on the kohen. So and then other mepharshim say the same thing that he knowingly heard the context and he omitted it when he told Shaul. Okay, I gotta go. But stuff to think about. We'll see what we end up going on next week. I do want to go on in the Rambams, but this is good though.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.